I got people trying to mess with me, Landfill. Might need a bouncer in here. I offered Denton a shirt. He said no, and he's wearing a Baja, is what we used to call those things.
I believe in San Diego, they call this a Mexican poncho.
The best part was Denton's mic just not being up and him talking. There's a clip going around social media right now. Terry McLaurin was on Kay Adams this morning. And it's funny, man. Commanders got people available now. Noah Brown's on Good Morning Football, I think. John Bates, I think, made angry runs. Like, the Commanders are happening around the league. And Terry McLaurin talking to Kay Adams, I think this is something very easy for fans to support when a guy like Terry talks about the season this way.
How injured was Jaden Daniels? How incredible was it that he did that with such poise and he's hurting?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was definitely feeling it. He definitely probably took a few shots, but he's never going to show you that.
Yeah.
Like, his face is the same every single play, good or bad. And to have that kind of poise and disposition as a rookie is unbelievable. But, you know, they got good players, too, who are making plays as well. But he has a will to win and have a rib injury going into that game to cork that.
There was no panic at all the whole time. And I'm like, Andy's hurt. Tell him to heal up. You keep doing your thing.
Terry would go on in that interview to talk about he's having the most fun of his career, which is kind of what he said to us for some time now. And it's for a guy like McLaurin that has truly just had to grind it out. It's hard not to be really happy for him at this stage, right? Like, he's fourth in the NFL in receiving yards. There's always been this conversation like, oh, is Terry a top 10 wideout? Jeff wanted to trade him in training camp if you go back and check the data.
I'm actually maintaining a list, people that wanted to trade Terry, and Jeff is the only one on it.
Yeah, you know what? I'll double check the list because I know you put it in the shared Google Drive.
All right, so I'm going to go get the audio.
Hang on. I'm looking at the list, Jeff. The list is the list. Pod Denton up real quick. Denton, if you can, it says guys that wanted to trade Terry McLaurin list.
Yeah, let me just adjust my glasses
here. Who's on there?
I do see Jeff Too Funny. DJ Jeff Too Funny, actually, as it says on the list.
Scotty, can you see that? There's one person on the list. Jeff, the list. Jeff, I didn't make the list.
If that
I don't
list
maintain
is true, I have
the list.
Cornrows.
What?
If that list is true, I have a head full of hair right now.
Jeff, I didn't make the list, bro, but these are documents. These are sourceable documents, man.
I heard he wanted Cam Sims to replace him.
He does love Cam Sims.
Didn't he score this year, though?
I highly.
It's like, nah, man.
But Terry McLaurin is having fun. I think this whole Commanders team is having fun. And I feel like that is part of the growth. Like, everybody is in it together. Things are going well. You're enjoying yourself because you're winning, and you're winning because you're enjoying yourself. It all starts to build momentum. This is McLaurin from this morning on Kay Adams.
Are you enjoying it? Are you finally at a place where you're starting to have fun?
Oh, I'm having the time of my career, honestly. Like, I'm having a lot of fun, and I think the cameras catch me a lot. Just being in the moment and being able to let loose, like going into each and every week and believing in the guys that we have in this locker room and the way we're coming out with some of these games. We don't really know how it's going to show up, but all the training we put in since the off season started is really starting to show up in different ways. And so when you're doing that and you're doing it with a group of guys you really love going to work with, like, it makes it really fun. And then when you're making plays too and helping your team win, that's always the cherry on top.
Are you in?
And if you think about Terry statistically, I mean, really, however you want to look at it, he is definitely making plays and is a huge part of these wins. Went for a 125 last week. And it's just, there's so much about Terry that his willingness to put his body on the line over and over, and all that stuff's contagious, man. And you see it week after week, and then you see a dude like Jaden. How about the clip? Now, we can't play this clip, but this started going viral, I think, last night from ESPN. And Jaden after the play. You see that one, Denton? We got Denton Day here, Sheen's producer. You can hear him on XM on his college football stuff.
And Commanders pregame.
And Commanders pregame. But it's too bad you weren't in the video with Linnell when he like passed out. I think he was touched by the Holy Spirit in that moment.
The one weekend I have a wedding, of course. But please continue.
Wait, do you do that show normally? Is that normally you and...
That's literally me and Linnell. I have a wedding for a person that I did not know as a plus one, and it happened to be that weekend. I was thrilled.
Damn.
Yeah.
When was the wedding? Wedding on a Sunday?
I said the same thing. It was at 4. It started at 4:30.
You had a Sunday wedding at 4:30 when the Commanders game against the Bears got flexed?
Yeah. Not thrilled.
Damn, dude.
Big time L.
That is a, so you didn't even get to watch it?
No, I had to run out of the wedding to call my dad when the Hail Mary happened.
You didn't see it live?
I didn't see it live.
Oh, how on the levels of L's, how bad is that?
This is a top-tier L. For a guy that is bleeds burgundy and gold or whatever the colors are now, top-tier L.
Landfill, Denton didn't get to watch it at all. Jeff left early. Which is worse?
I mean, Jeff's by far, but it sounds like we got a bunch of fake fans here.
Dude,
are we really having a fake fan conversation?
You left early when they threw a Hail Mary.
I had to go to work, and I watched it.
Yo, you work at the club. The club doesn't get going until 11 or midnight.
That's how I know JP is old, because on Sundays, we have day parties. Right after
brunch. It was 8 o'clock at night?
Yes.
That's a day party?
Yes, the day party is from... usually like 12 to 9, and then it changes over to the 10 to 3 a.m.
But if you were working the day party, you were already going to be late.
No, bro. I was covering someone from 9 to 11. So I had to leave from the stadium, drop my equipment off, and go in. And like I said,
covered shifts the way that like I will text Landfill to cover a producing shift.
Yeah, bro. Here. That's why you keep a network of good DJs. So when you can't do something, somebody else
can. It's a simple question. Denton didn't get to watch the game because he was at a wedding for a person he didn't know.
Yeah.
Jeff was at the game and left early. Which is worse? Landfill, your vote.
It's definitely Jeff.
Y'all are haters.
Scotty, your vote.
It's 100% Jeff.
A true fan would have had the game plan on their phone at the wedding.
Jeff.
Trust me, I'm in the middle of Percival, Virginia with SOS on the LTE bar. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I just need one bar. I don't care if it's grainy. It could be, you know, 240 foot. I don't care. I just needed one bar. I couldn't get it.
You're not quite married yet. You're engaged. You're getting married in the spring or something, right?
Right, correct.
Did you have a conversation with your fiance about this?
We had a conversation after. Because I was under the assumption, I'm gonna look like a somewhat good person here. I was under the assumption that it was on a Sunday for religious purposes. You know, for a Jewish wedding can be traditionally held on Sunday. So I was like, all right, cool.
I did not know that.
And then I get there, and it was not for a religious purpose. It was just because they were, quote, saving money. And I was like, you had a Friday to do this in the fall.
How do these people feel now that you're talking about how unhappy you are about their wedding?
There's a reason I have not name-dropped them. The wedding was beautiful, but it was not beautiful enough to have me miss a Hail Mary. Correct me if I'm wrong here. That's the first time in franchise history a Hail Mary has converted in favor of Washington.
I've seen a few Hail Marys before halftime. Hell, there was the one against the Broncos last year that they didn't get the two-pointer. But I've never seen Washington complete one,
Washington
especially
walk-off
singular right. win.
I mean, arguably the best regular season play in franchise history.
Regular season play.
I don't think I should be giving marriage advice, or fiance advice, but hey, Dan, if the command is playing, sometimes you got to put your foot down and buckle your pants up and say, I'm watching football.
I said, don't take marriage advice from me, though, bro.
Reason why I'm not married.
I'm good.
Did you debate putting your foot down? Because it's also work, dude. Like, you make money doing it. I know you like money.
Yeah, thankfully.
This company doesn't give a lot of it away. So, like, when you have a day to make some.
Thankfully, I had other money-making opportunities. Selling weed ever. I have another job, which you had me as a guest on for those purposes, and Daddy made a lot of money this weekend doing that job.
Did you That got weird. Did you just call yourself Daddy on the B-Mitch and Finley program?
Zaddy. Sorry. Is that better for you?
No. Yeah. No.
Man, Phil, cut his mic off.
All of a sudden, listen, I was firmly in Jeff did it worse by leaving the game, but you referring to yourself as Daddy in reference to...
If I can make
with me, Jeff, Lampville, and Scotty sitting around, you might have done it worse.
If I can make y'all swing to be on the same side as Jeff, I feel like I've done my job here. That's polarization.
I almost want to take calls, but I feel like...
Listen, wrong call is going to call.
Nikki Javala joins us in 10 minutes. But if you want to call in real quick and tell me who did it worse, Jeff was at the Bears game and left early, or Denton was at a wedding and wasn't allowed to watch it. Dude, the whole, like, you're not allowed to watch this wedding before you're even married?
Well, so it wasn't
you're
that I wasn't
allowed to watch the game.
It wasn't that I wasn't allowed to. I just couldn't. Like, she had no issue with me bolting out of there to call my dad when I got a notification that a Hail Mary pulled off. She totally got it. It's just that I couldn't watch it because of where the wedding was located. If you've ever been to Percival, Virginia, it's not exactly a great place for signal on cell phones when you're, like, deep into the wedding territory of that area. It's a bunch of farmland.
It's so kind of suspect.
Venue didn't have Wi-Fi?
The venue didn't have a TV?
I don't think you tried hard enough.
The venue did not
enough.
Have a
where
TV.
Where were you? Was this, is there a weird Amish portion of Percival that I'm unaware of?
I mean, not a TV where you're watching a... Where it's also by a wedding, unless you're like deep into a kitchen. I'm just gonna walk back up there. Hey, catering
where
guys.
Was it? Like, it's not at a restaurant, bar kind of thing?
At a wedding? No. Is that
a
like
hotel?
A
hotel?
It's like a winery. There's no TV. You don't, you're not going to a winery to watch a football game.
Jeff, answer the phone. I don't know, man. Yours is becoming more and more suspect. Ever since you called yourself Daddy, it's gotten very weird.
I'll take that.
Can I borrow a dollar on Twitter says, Jeff has that AI fandom. I don't even know what that means.
What does that mean?
Jeff might have AI, artificial intelligence. You could be patient zero for that, Jeff, as far as I know. Big B in DC says, Jeff is definitely worse because I was texting with him to meet him, and he responded he was going to meet me. Bleep you, Jeff.
The day got away from me, bro. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like, if you... And I'm
Big B's on the line.
Yeah, he's on.
Big B, fire away at Jeff.
Man, let me tell you something, man. I almost missed that last play because I was like, you know what? Let me stand out in the hall because Jeff might be popping through. I know you're a busy dude. So I said he might be popping through, pause. But I said I'm going to stand out in this hallway, see if I can catch up with my man. And boom, he showed me a ghost. So
damn, Jeff.
Jeff. Hold on.
Can I
explain myself?
You always have an explanation.
No, because what I went through at the stadium this week, and I'm not going to say no names because she helped me get it done. So I went up there.
Landfill, do you think this is somehow going to result in Jeff trying to claim he's famous?
No, I have a feeling. It's no famous talk. I even put it in the chat. But somehow I went to set my stuff up. I got my Ring Road credential and all of that, and I'm setting my DJ equipment up. I usually don't get my credential until after the game, after I packed up so I could just get my credential, walk to the South Tunnel, and go in. Well, when I get to the credential table, guess who did not have a credential for the game? Jeff Walker. So, which, in hindsight, happened. Someone had to get me an entertainment wristband, and I had to be escorted from the stadium. And then they were like, they don't give us seats. They kind of just tell us, you know, when you get in, go find a seat that's open. That's how you can watch the game. Cool. But the thing was, I didn't have no credentials, so I couldn't just walk around the stadium or get to no seat. So I literally went up to a suite and just stayed in the suite the entire time.
Landfill.
And that's because I saw Gil.
The TLDR version of Jeff's story is a whole bunch of stuff about getting in. None of that impacted when you left, bro. You were in, and then
bro,
you just left.
I had to go make some more money, bro. You would have left, too.
All in all, I'm really happy that Terry McLaurin's happy. That's good.
I too am happy that Terry McLaurin's happy. I have a question,
here.
Though. I have a question.
For me? Okay.
This is from Ahmet. Ahmet brings up a good question here. If you had no signal at the wedding, how did you know about the Hail Mary?
So I was getting text messages every 45 minutes. Imagine the string of text messages. Here's a trick. If you have a bad signal, you got to flip it on airplane mode, flip it off airplane mode. Search is super strong. You get a surge of text messages. They're all over the place. And then you got to do it every 45 minutes. It was a disaster.
Percival, Virginia is not that far away. Like, I know where it is. It's just past, like, you just keep going on the toll road or whatever that road becomes, Route 7.
Right, and then it's 15 minutes off the toll road. into like the farmland. Like I'm not in downtown Percival. I'm like all these back roads going 3 miles at 25 miles an hour, all these back roads.
David Morris says, how did he get a notification when he had SOS and zero bars? Sus as hell.
I just told you how I got a notification. David, listen to the program.
You believe him, Landfill? It's a little sus. I don't know that I've ever used that term. Gerald Robinson on the chat says, Denton is worse.
Damn it, Gerald.
And a lot of people are like, who's getting married on a Sunday?
I said the same thing.
How much money do you save on a Sunday wedding?
When I was booking my wedding, it was cheaper to do it on a Friday, which is why my wedding's on a Friday. We saved like $4,000. I don't know that you save that much money on a Sunday, though. It was significantly cheaper on Friday. It's also way smarter if you have people coming from out of town, so you get a recovery day and a day to be a tourist in D.C. You're welcome, everybody that's coming out of town to my wedding.
Thanks for the invite. Rusty's in Delaware. Who did it worse?
Invites haven't gone out yet.
So it's definitely Denton. And I'm going to tell you, so Jeff, I got your back here. You know, this is Daddy calling from Delaware. I mean, Rusty calling from Delaware.
Got a lot of Daddy talk today.
If there's any place that doesn't have signal, it's rural Delaware. And I can tell you all about that. But dude, you're going to have to, number one, get the man card laminated after this, because you're going to need this in the future. I'm coming to you as a married man of 10 years. I have missed a birthday for a Redskins playoff game in 2013. I have had I've had weddings and things formed around Orioles playoff games, and I know they've been few and far between. There was a way to see this game, and I don't care if it was SOS mode or a TV somewhere. Dude, you should have gotten in front of a screen.
Yeah. Take that L, then.
I will take the L. I don't have headphones, so I have no idea what he just said. I was not playing for a call segment here. I thought we were going to talk.
Here's what I can tell you. I'll
take the L, though. Like, I don't mind taking the L. It's the biggest L that I've taken as a Commanders fan, which is saying a lot.
I'll ask a serious question in the group, and I don't know the answer to this. I missed my sister-in-law's wedding. So my wife's sister, mm-hmm. when my wife, I think, was best lady, whatever that's called. Because I had to work a Skins game. It was Skins Titans. I remember correctly, I think it was Skins Titans when DJ Swearinger went nuts after the game. So
you're paid on salary, though, aren't you? You paid a lot more than me by your company, that's for sure.
But I had to work the game. That was my thought. You missed the game for your fiance's friend that you didn't know.
Yeah. I thought the wedding was going to be massive, too. It was not massive.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I would have hit, hey, babe, I'm here. I'm just not in the ceremony, but I'm here.
Landini, was I a jerk for missing my sister-in-law's wedding? It's my job.
No.
What's your relationship with your sister-in-law?
We're close. Okay. She's great. She's my accountant. All right. Final votes. I think Jeff's was worse, but Denton's is way more suspect than he led us to believe. Landfill?
Jeff's is way worse.
Scotty?
Y'all haters.
It's remarkable that Scotty never stops talking except when his microphone's on, and then he's incapable of talking. We will present the facts to B. Mitch tomorrow for the final verdict. Denton, thank you for hanging out. Nikki Javala joins us next. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Now, listen, that had to be a strong pull for Landfill to keep Michael Jackson Day going, even though Nikki was on the line and we normally hear Petey Pob. Nikki Javala.
I would have changed, but our computer broke and I can't change the song.
There you go. So, Nikki, I hope you don't mind a little MJ. How are you?
All good. All good.
You did a really good job. You and I were sitting there together watching that game, watching the Hail Mary and just how it all unfolded. And it was just pure chaos. I think you did a great job, though, pointing out, you know, a lot has changed in the universe as it comes to newspapers and the actual print version sometimes. Are like so memorable and arguable works of art. And I love that you tweeted out the picture. I don't know if McDonald took that or what, but the picture of Noah Brown 4 yards behind the scrum catching that Hail Mary on the cover of the Post Sports section is just so damn cool.
It was an awesome cover. Like our Matt Bonsia, he came up with the headline, which I thought was just perfect, and the way it was laid out, I loved it. To me, that's like, yeah, one of those iconic covers that you end up framing. I'm going to frame it,
It helps when your byline's really cool on it, so you should frame it.
Well, yeah, but even if it was like somebody else's, like, I just think that moment, I mean, it's just like, it's hard not to appreciate what you're witnessing, you know? It's pretty cool, even if it, like, I almost had a heart attack in the moment.
Yeah, but it was wild.
Yeah.
Wow, we got some breaking news out of Houston. Steph Diggs out for the year. Wow. We knew he was hurt. Didn't know he was that hurt. All right, so, Nikki, as much as we've all just been enjoying this and looking back, and there's a million different angles, and the video's incredible, and the Bears DB's an idiot, and all of that, it's kind of, you know, when you and I get to Ashburn tomorrow, we're looking at the Giants game, and and the organization's looking at five games until they're bye, and a couple of them look quite difficult, right? Let's start with a little bit of, like, injury cleanup from the weekend. Do you know why or what was up with Brian Robinson's lack of involvement in the second half?
I don't, honestly. He's been dealing, I don't know if it's injury related or if it was just circumstance, but he has been dealing with sort of that lingering knee injury.
Yep.
So I think they're trying to be cognizant of that, but, you know, it was a tight game. So that's on my list of things to get clarity on going into the week. But yeah, he's one of those that I feel like we're probably going to be monitoring week to week. Same with Jaden Daniels. I mean, he was clearly uncomfortable there late in the game after taking the hits that he did. And, you know, Quinn said even last night he's going to be week to week. So I'd imagine it's the same, maybe not to, you know, the same degree, but, you know, that, you know, if it's rib cartilage, as it was reported, I haven't been able to confirm that part, but if it is that, you know, that doesn't heal in 2 days. So, you know,
yeah,
something they'll be looking at.
I talked to a surgeon I know last week as we were still trying to figure out if he was going to play. And basically the way the rib cartilage stuff was explained to me is it just heals when it heals. And you really can't set a timeline on it. And then it becomes a pain threshold thing. And Jaden is now, I'd argue, proven that the threshold is very, very high. So I don't think that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have concern about Jaden against the Giants, barring something else or a setback or whatever.
Right.
No,
I mean, it was very fortunate that he wasn't dealing with anything structural or like a fracture or anything. The only other possible injury that I questioned was like if it was a bone bruise or something. But, you know, it was reported as a cartilage issue, so we'll see.
Right. The O-line, we saw Cornelius Lucas leave the game. Yeah. We saw him in the locker room with a boot on. Maybe you get Brandon Coleman back this week, cleared from the concussion, but still your depth starting to take some hits. Biotis has been so good. He's dealing with that beat up thumb. I know Cosme and Allegretti got to have some aches and pains, certainly in their legs.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you're getting to the point of the season where everybody does. The one I'm also concerned about is Wiley. I mean, he was slow to get up there on a number of plays. You know, is he dealing with something that, you know, nothing that has so far held them out, but that's another one to monitor. But Cornelius, seeing him in a boot, not good. I don't know how much of that is precaution versus, you know, they actually found something, but definitely the hope is to get, you know, Brandon Coleman back out there this week if he can clear the concussion protocol.
That would help a ton. Talking with our friend Nikki Jobvalla from the Washington Post. You can give her a follow at Nikki Jobvalla. NICKIJHABVALA. Let's switch it over to the defensive side of the ball. We saw the Johnny Newton that we were told about.
Yeah. Yeah. He looked really good. He looked really good. I'm still trying to get clarity on that. What appeared to be a sack, but I guess they determined that Caleb was a runner then, so was it more of a tackle
that
for loss? I still think you should get credit
BS.
For a sack.
I agree.
Yeah, that's one where I'm pretty sure the team is going to submit that to the league to try to get credit for them. I mean, yeah.
But either way, that was a huge play. I did bring that up with a team official, and they said they would submit it. They should.
Yeah, totally. I mean, because Johnny Newton bookended that game. I mean, two big plays first and near the end. And for a rookie to come in and do that, it really stepping in for John Allen too. Like, I mean, this is why they really like the guy. This rookie class, I mean, I think it's magnified because of, you know, how poor previous rookie classes have been, but also like these kids are really good too. But this rookie class has had an immediate and impressive impact. so far. I mean, Mike Sanderson is really coming into his own, and it's, I mean, he plays so much bigger than what, you know, what he is. Jaden, obviously. These guys are, they're playing well. I think Coleman has really developed. You know, if we, they could just get him back healthy, that would help. But yeah, these, it's been a good class so far.
For sure. I think Sammer still, the level of physicality with which he plays is remarkable for a guy his size. And I don't think it's going away. I don't think it's going to change. I think that's just how he's wired. And, you know,
he plays fearless.
Totally. And when Saban talked about him the way he did, and then Peters talked about him the way he did when they drafted him, and Quinn, and you could just tell he's a different beast.
Totally.
But so we talked Newton, we talked Sammer still. Defensively, all of a sudden, they're hot. They're averaging, you know, they've given up 11 per game in the last two. They've climbed all the way up to 10th in the league in points allowed.
It's remarkable also, given how bad they were to start, or, you know, how out of sync they appear to start.
Totally.
You know?
100%. I mean, they gave up at least 33 in two of the first three games.
Right.
But how much of the success the last few weeks was a terrible Panthers team and Caleb Williams just playing awful for three quarters versus they forced the other quarterbacks to be bad?
I think both. You know, I think this defense really is playing well together. They're playing more like, you know, Dan Quinn and Joe Witt envisioned them playing, with that physicality and better communication, which is clear from the front to the back end. They still have their blips, which can turn into big blips, like the DeAndre Swift run where, you know, he forced four missed tackles, I think, on that one run. So they still have their moments that they need to clean up, but I think on the whole, they are playing much more in sync. They're able to create pressure. They're able to get home. The back end, they look like they know what they're doing out there. It's not always perfect, but there's definitely consistent improvement. And there's development, which, again, is something that we haven't seen in years, really, on either side of the ball. So to see that, I think, is, that's what gives me the most optimism, is you see guys consistently improving. You see, you know, Luvu, I think, is, he's unbelievable, that guy. Like, he's sort of the motor, the glue of that group. Him and Wagner in the middle. But, you know, I've been impressed by the defense and sort of their progress so far. I wasn't quite sure if they'd be able to turn it around. They have some talent, no doubt, but it's not like they have otherworldly talent. I think there's still depth concerns, especially corner. But they've, you know, made the most of what they have, I think.
I totally agree. I even said, B and I kind of argued about this after the Tampa game. I was like, I know that the offense can be much better. I know that week one, I kind of thought Jaden was just kind of getting used to stuff. Maybe he had happy feet a little bit better. I thought he could stay in the pocket and really show his arm and win from the pocket, and he's proven that. I wasn't sure the defense would get better. And I think, dude, you watch the Giants last night, 11 penalties, god-awful two-point conversion call, and you wonder, like, is that a well-coached team? But then you watch Washington, and you're like, that looks like a well-coached team. You could see the difference.
Totally. Totally. I mean, when I watched the Giants, I felt like you're no disrespect to the previous regime, but it feels like you're watching a lot of what Washington experienced in previous seasons. Now, when you watch them, it's, you know, it's a well-oiled machine. You know, it's not always perfect, but they are absolutely trending in the right direction. And I mean, let's be honest, a lot of it changes when you get a quarterback too. I think the staff is good. I think they've done a good job of, you know, keeping it one message and developing guys. And, you know, you retweeted at first that clip of Micah Parsons digs on that podcast talking about what Quinn does for a group. And I mean, you can see it in guys too. But having a quarterback winning and having a coach that like really believes in what they're preaching, I think is sort of that trifecta that they've achieved so far.
It's been wild. So this is my new question. 5 games left to the bye. What's your prediction for the bye week record? 13 games in.
Oh, man. Are they 6-2 now? Who do they have left? They got the Steelers at home after the Giants.
They go Giants, Steelers at Philly Thursday night, Dallas at home, Tennessee at home.
I mean, I don't think. I mean, there's a chance they could win all of those, right? I think they're a good team. Like,
I know we got to get
a good team.
I think 9-4 is entirely reasonable.
Totally, and I think so too. I think really the Steelers game will actually be tough. They look good.
Yeah,
I didn't think they would, but they do look good.
The Eagles have turned it around. The Steelers with Russ Wilson all of a sudden have a lot cooking up there.
And
everything. Oh, the other. I kind of think the other three. I think Washington will be favored.
I do too.
And against the Titans, it might be two touchdowns.
Sort of a mess. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I didn't know what to expect going into the season. I could have seen them being like the next Houston Texans, or, you know, having another dud of a season just because they're trying to pull it all together. I thought eventually they'll be good because I think Jaden is good and the quarterback changes everything. So I'm still not sure. I think they're a good team, though. I mean, we've seen this consistently. I don't think it was, the Cincy game was clearly not a fluke. I think they're a good team. How much better is their opponent going to be? How much worse? I think 9-4 is a solid estimate there.
I don't remember for you. I know I've been covering these guys for a while, and even 2020. It was COVID. They were 7-9. There were fun portions, but it wasn't a fun year. What's the last fun year you had? Because there were some bad Broncos teams you covered, too.
My first year on the beat, they won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was kind of a straight drop from there.
That was 15?
Because then it's 2015, yeah. Okay. So I was kind of the third wheel on the beat in 2014. So I got to see Peyton when he was still Peyton and still, like, that was awesome to see. And then 2015, on the beat full time, and they won it all. Peyton was sort of a shell of himself, but that defense was incredible. And that was awesome. It was a fun team to cover. So much fun.
Yep.
And then you're trying to replace a franchise quarterback, one of the greatest of all time. So, you dealt with a lot of the same things that Washington has dealt with in recent years.
It's fun to have fun. Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
That's Nikki Jobvalla. Give her a follow on X and Instagram. Read her work in the Washington Post. We got to make some bets. Love it. Landfill. Tuesday's becoming my day. Wendy and Skynyrd in the same day. This scene when the kegs kicked. The days are confused. If you ain't been there, you're missing out. Away. Steph Diggs out for the year. If you missed that, honestly, the receiver position get pretty thin in Houston. I'd be shocked if they don't try to make a move. And the Colts, dude, Anthony Richardson's been awful. They're benching him. Going to Joe Flacco, hon. Colts trying to win some games, give up on the development of a young guy. Maybe he'll develop more on the bench. He's been so bad. Incredible physical gifts, just no experience. The Colts are 4-4 on the season. If the playoffs started today, and they don't, but if they did, I think the Colts would be right on the cut. Yeah, the Colts would be the 8 seed compared to the Chargers 7 seed. So they can win some games maybe with Flacco, which is a remarkable sentence to say in 2024. I do remain interested, I guess, in how Chris Ballard continues to be held in such a high esteem around the league. And certainly in the media, I think he must just be very good to the media. He's 58-64-1 in his 7 seasons in Indy, 8 seasons in Indy. They've churned through coaches. They've churned through quarterbacks. I don't know the name of the sketch comedy show. I think it's like I Know You Missed It or something. But have you seen the sketch where the guy in the hot dog outfit driving the hot dog mobile crashes into the building and he's like, man, if we find the guy who did this, we're gonna hang him up. Like, that to me is Chris Ballard. Like, we don't know who the quarterback is. We don't know who the coach is. If we can figure those things out, we got this. Chris Ballard's the Colts general manager. Everybody's staring at me crazy. Jeff, let's make some bets.
Okay, so JP, you did not hit your bet.
Yeah, dude.
B did not
hit his
bet.
I can't
hit
any bets.
And Landfill and I are both sitting at 1-0 for the week.
Congratulations.
I don't know who I'm taking tonight.
You know who B-Mitch gets tonight?
No one.
An L.
Yep, a big fat L. I don't know.
He's L-Mitch today.
Damn, that's tough, too. Maybe we know where B is.
Where's that?
The Rage of Cajuns have a game tonight.
Mm.
Texas State.
I'm taking the Dodgers plus 1.5.
You got it for a sweep?
Yeah.
Damn.
Give me.
How are you guys going to handle getting swept in the World Series?
Give me Texas State. JP, honestly, after you said that about our pitching last week, and then I watched the game
one. I told
one,
you that bullpen was suspect.
I said, yeah, this is going to be bad. Hey, I took two shocking plays in 1 week, JP. The home run to end the game and the Hail Mary to win the game.
That's kind of cool. I think the Caps play tonight, right? Danny Frank going to the game.
Yes,
Caps at home against the Rangers. Hate, again, that it's an ESPN game, so I can't get Joe B on it. Give me the Caps puck line, plus 1.5. I got it at plus, minus 198, so I can take it. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Thank you to Barstool Nate. Thank you to Tyler Dunn. Thank you to Wendy. And thank you to Nikki Jobvala. Thank you to everybody that called in. Thank you to the boys in the aquarium. Thank you to Wildcard Scotty. He's nuts. Shout out to B-Mitch. We're all back tomorrow from Ashburn. You made it this far. I owe you a beer.